Question number four, beyond Bitcoin, what's a resource, tool, or idea that's been helpful to you or your work recently? Welcome to the Business Bitcoinization Show, the show dedicated to helping you enrich your life and grow your business with Bitcoin, the hardest money on planet Earth. I'm your host, Josh Friedemann, and today I'm going to be sharing with you a supercut of various guest answers to some of the initial five questions. This is something that a number of listeners have asked of me in the past, and because this summer is particularly busy for me, I figured these would be some great episodes to have in the queue for weeks where I didn't have the time to edit and prepare a full episode. In June, I'll be in Spain for 2 weeks. I'll also be moving. And then July, I'll be doing some camping and I'll be at the Bitcoin conference, which, by the way, if you're going to be there, let me know. It'd be great to connect, as well as a couple other things here and there. So because of that, I decided to finally take a little bit of time and create some of these supercuts. I may actually end up regretting this because it might end up being more work than editing just a normal episode, but I won't know until I get to doing the work. And I'm actually recording this before creating the supercuts. Anyway, I hope you'll enjoy these and I hope you'll share some feedback with me about your thoughts here. Now that there's over 110 episodes of the podcast, there are plenty of opportunities to do this multiple times over, but it also may be one of those things that looks really good on paper, but doesn't end up being as interesting as I and other people might have thought. Either way, thanks for listening today, and we're going to get to that supercut right after this. Business owners, unlock the benefits Bitcoin has to offer your business with the Bitcoin for Business Quick Start Guide. This 27-page guide highlights the 6 ways you can grow your business with Bitcoin. Check it out in the show notes. Beyond Bitcoin, what's a resource, tool, or idea that's been helpful to you or your work recently?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. And I think the idea that I'm kind of bouncing around in my head, and this is probably an unconventional one for you know, the people that you have on your show, but I'm trying to figure out. I got a small family, or you know, a family with small kids. I have about a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old, and you know, a wife who likes me around, thank God, and a startup, which is, you know, another child of mine, right? And so I think a lot of the things that people deal with when you know, they do a startup is how do you balance that time between family and startup, because it is very, very easy to get totally engaged in what we're doing, because we're just fired up about it. And oftentimes more fired up about our business than fired up about going home and dealing with a 3 and a 5-year-old who are kind of being 3 and 5-year-olds, right? And so, you know, for me, the idea here is like, how do you scale your time more effectively? And the two things that I kind of lean on is, as just a business owner is, you know, how do you get to that 80% rule? You know, we like to say that, you know, 80% is good enough to move on, right? Like that remaining 20% takes so much time, and is not nearly as valuable as that first 80%. So if we can get something to 80%, we go. And then we will iterate along the way. So that's one, that saves me a bunch of time, at work so that I can get home with my family. Second is, you know, don't be a control freak. If you have to be involved in every decision that is made, that's going to take a ton of your time. And so if you can really delegate to people, and find a really good team and be comfortable with the decisions that your team makes, I think it just opens up so much time. And I truly believe that my best ideas come when I'm walking my dog or playing with my kids in the backyard or wherever it's somewhere outside of the four walls of the office. And so probably not the direction you thought I'd go with that, but it's just it is in my mind constantly as a husband, a father, and a business owner. It's something that a lot of us, I feel like, struggle with.
Community. Whether that's a Telegram channel or effective marketing or putting on an event or getting people together, I think that having a strong community, maybe it's a Slack channel, I don't know, whatever people do, but that's probably like severely underrated. It's probably one of the best things you can do and we're trying. We're not experts at it. You know, we had an event in Miami, and we have a Telegram channel, and we're trying to effectively communicate and build a community. But that's probably the best thing.
Oh man, that's a that's a tough question. Yeah, I always think, you know, lately I've been using Typeform a lot. Typeform's really good to generate some leads. I'm like, hey, you want to accept Bitcoin? Like, hit me up on this Typeform, you know. But, you know, really tapping into the community, tapping into local Bitcoin meetups, talking with them, because a lot of people, you know, with Oshii, we're trying to spread awareness of like how to accept Bitcoin and how to use it and how to incentivize people to use it and incentivize people to accept it. And, you know, for this particular use case, we really need to lean on some of those passionate people on Earth, the Bitcoiners. And we kind of tap into these communities providing a tool in which like they're ready for and they're looking for. So for us, it's really like getting more involved in Bitcoin meetups. I myself have started a Bitcoin meetup before. I'm very active in the meetup community. So it's kind of a match made in heaven. So lean in on your community. Lean in on that. You know, this is a peaceful revolution for everybody.
You need to, as a listener of this podcast, you need to read a book. It's called What Has Government Done to Our Money? And it's by Murray Rothbard. And you can download this book for free or even buy it on Amazon. But this book will describe to you what the government has done to what we call fiat money globally. With an understanding of what government has done to our money, you'll be able to understand why Bitcoin exists and why you should use Bitcoin as money. Without that book, it's very hard to understand the context of why Bitcoin was written and why it's become so wildly popular. Many people have read this book, and there's another book by Professor Safedina Moose called The Bitcoin Standard, which is an unmissable, excellent book on this subject. If you read these two books, you will understand why Bitcoin exists, and it'll become immediately obvious why you should use it yourself. The problem of fiat money is so profound, so widespread, invasive into every single aspect of everything that you do. The horror of it will be startling to many people. Every single transaction that happens in society is mediated by money. If that money is not sound, that money is corrupt. The people who have given you this corrupt money to use as money are corrupting every single transaction in society. And so if you change the money, you can change society. You can change it from being an unfair, grossly inefficient, and unjust system to being one that's based on fairness, on rules that don't change, and ethics, unlike fiat, which is the absolute opposite of that. So those are the two books that you really should read. They're easy to read, in some parts even entertaining, and you could not do better than those two books.
So I think the idea of being compassionate towards yourself. So there's a book called Self-Compassion by Kristen Neff that I find very helpful in helping clients when they are being too hard on themselves. They think they're late to the game. I think a lot of clients would benefit from that book, Self-Compassion, because historically people are proven through science a little bit too hard on themselves, and just a little bit more compassion towards themselves can really help them act with confidence, live in the present, and not have so much regret about how they shoulda, woulda, coulda, or just kind of punish themselves too much for screwing up or whatever.
Yeah, I'm going to go with an idea for this. And I think the idea is that there is this massive shift in the broader economy toward the creator economy and the broadening of the creator economy. And I think, you know, everything we've seen with COVID, you know, the shift to remote work, you know, and everything that brought, I think it's making it apparent that there's lots of individual talent and creators in the world. And people have sort of realized that now that they're not tethered to this physical place, you know, perhaps their skills are not tethered in terms of the marketability of their skills, and it's leading toward this explosion of sort of individual creator talent, whether that's like streamers or, you know, contract, you know, programmers or contract marketing or whatever. I think that is going to be, continue to become a big theme in the economy, in the broad economy. And I think if you're building a business today, especially an online business, you have to be aware of that shift, because it's going to influence every customer that you come across, because every customer is going to sort of be a creator in their own way.
So, you know, mentors and coaching, we're big into, we have a business coach that coaches specifically contractors. We have a sales coach, and I have a CEO coach. So I'm always looking to learn and get better. And yes, initially you might look at the, you know, the cost of it and say, oh man, but that's going to cost a lot. But it's an investment, just like anything else, right? You're going to invest into it and you want to get a return on that investment. And to me, the knowledge that I've gained from those coaches has given me the best return on investment to be able to grow my business.
If you were hit by a bus right now, could your family access your Bitcoin? When's the right time to stop hodling and use Bitcoin to impact your family's lives, not just yours? What if Bitcoin doesn't reach the value you expect, or it takes longer to reach that value? Do you have a plan? Do you have the proper trust structure to avoid probate, maintain your privacy, and minimize taxes? Do you want to avoid taxes to stack more sats or leverage your stack without selling? Should you add Bitcoin to your business's balance sheet? Are you truly confident in your self-custody setup? If any of those questions made you stop and think, you probably realize that simply buying and holding Bitcoin is not a complete financial plan. That's where Strong Wealth comes in. Orange-pilled advisors blending traditional financial planning with deep Bitcoin expertise, giving you the best of both worlds, so you can sleep peacefully knowing you're making the right moves for your family no matter what happens. Schedule a free call at strongwealth.net. That's strongwealth.net. Strong Wealth. Wealth management for Bitcoiners by Bitcoiners. Today's episode of Business Bitcoinization is proudly brought to you by Velus Commerce, where the future of business technology meets Bitcoin. As we journey through the era of Bitcoin and its transformational impact on businesses, there's one name that stands out: Velus Commerce. Whether you're looking to build a cutting-edge website, a seamless mobile app, or custom software, Velus is your go-to team. They've been diving deep into the world of Bitcoin since 2014, making them one of the most experienced groups for integrating Bitcoin and Lightning payments into a variety of digital platforms. But here's what truly sets them apart. Velus Commerce doesn't just build. They bring a wealth of knowledge to ensure your project's success from day one. Their team understands the nuances of Bitcoin, ensuring that your business stays ahead of the curve. And for all business Bitcoinization listeners out there, Velus Commerce is offering a free consultation to kickstart your project the right way. So if you're ready to future-proof your business in the coming age of hyper-Bitcoinization, head over to veluscommerce.com or reach out on Twitter at Velus Commerce. Make sure your business thrives in the Bitcoin era.
I think maybe it's a general thing for everybody, but it's trying to get an understanding of inflation and what that's doing to people's money. You know, in our small city, we're you know, a small city on the west coast of the country, on a pretty big island in Victoria. It's extremely expensive here. You know, we're looking around the town and I see people looking for employees. And my wife and I were discussing this the other day, and we said, people aren't coming here because the cost of living is just so great that young people can't afford it. So that's just one layer of inflation and you know, and what its destructive elements are, just one small piece of it. So I think that, you know, understanding inflation, what it's doing to our employees, what it's doing to the cost of what we have to charge for our products, what it's doing to our suppliers. Obviously, they're raising their prices and we're trying to keep pace. You know, it's just an idea that everybody needs to keep in their mind. And, you know, it's not just today or tomorrow. We got to start looking out 2 or 3 or 5 years from now. And any good business, I think, is planning out in the future.
What's a resource or an idea that's been helpful to you or your business recently?
Yeah, so the concept of focus, I think a lot of businesses fail due to lack of focus. When you're trying to get a business off the ground, it's like launching a rocket and you have finite rocket fuel. And it does not do any good to launch 3 rockets halfway to space, they all fall back and crash. So a key part of any business is taking your rocket fuel and concentrating it enough in one rocket to get that rocket into orbit. And to do that, you really have to have a minimal viable product, an MVP, and you have to really, really, really focus. And most businesses don't have that discipline, and most businesses fail due to the inability to get a single rocket into orbit due to lack of focus and diversification way too early. I would say that principle has served me well.
Man, that is a good question. Lately I've been really chewing on, and this is something I revisit regularly, but lately it's become really important all over again, is, again, I own businesses, I work with people, and not only the people, my clients, but also my family and the people I care about and people I'm around. How do I move from serving people, serving my clients, serving my kids, serving my wife, to creating experiences and facilitating moments and memories for the people that I care about? And that's something I've really been chewing on lately. Again, for the families I serve through work, but also my kids. How do I move from, you know, changing diapers and getting them breakfast and maybe playing with them for a bit to actually curating moments together as they grow? That's something, yeah, it's really caught me lately. I'm regularly thinking on, again, that's something I can implement in my personal life as well as professional.
You sent some of these questions through prior to our chat, and I thought, what's been helping me recently? And it was actually my birthday on the weekend, and I got a box of Lego. And it's surprising just how much Lego is helping me. Sitting at a table with my son, who's 3 years old, and building things and just taking myself away from the business at the moment is the best tool I've got. Just sitting at a table with my son and playing with some Lego blocks and building cities. It's been very, very good for me.
Patrick, you're going to have a hard time topping that. What's yours?
Yeah, no, I definitely don't think I'm going to top that. I will say, because like Steve has mentioned there, it has been so much Bitcoin around the office and the space that it's hard to separate that from everything that's been going on. But probably the biggest change in terms of ideas that I have seen, and it's nice to see it in others inside the community, inside the organization, has just been a shift in time preference, right? We talk about it all the time as Bitcoiners, but to see it actually come to the surface at an organizational level, especially as we've seen, you know, this recent downturn in Bitcoin. If you are not fully, you know, if you don't have your conviction up, you don't have your education up, it can be a daunting period for newcomers. And it's been awesome to see that, you know, you start to see the education sort of actually kicking in and that low time preference around everybody, around the organization of thinking, you know, this is none of this stuff actually affects what we're doing. We're just building in this time. And that has been, it's been game changing to the group to be able to build from a point of strength.
Again, I'm kind of going to answer two questions at one here. Kind of like leads into the same kind of concept of community, really about like building a community and recognizing that Bitcoin is a community, like grassroots, like ground up, like movement. For me, you know, before coming down to Austin, where I'm based right now, I lived in Canada. I lived up in the mountains, small town in a ski resort. And my only connection to Bitcoin was Bitcoin Twitter. And the profound like change that I like went through when I came down to Austin and surrounded myself by like other amazing Bitcoiners and like fell into the Austin Bitcoin scene. You know, there's meetups like every week. There's like amazing developers, other founders, investors, like just Bitcoin enthusiasts. You know, nothing can beat the like in real life experience of surrounding yourself by, you know, with other Bitcoiners. So for me, it's all about community. It's all about this idea of, you know, building that like solid base around yourself. And that has had like a huge effect, not just on me personally, but on the business as well. Because, you know, like I said, Zapra just started out as a, you know, a hobby business. Like a lot of people have these kind of like small hobby businesses on the side. But really landing in Austin and dropping myself into the community had a huge effect on, like, you know, springboarding that business out into the real world and getting it noticed by, you know, users and investors and things like that. So yeah, community's huge.
To be honest, I don't use a lot of outside resources. I'm kind of weird. Like, I don't actually read a lot of books. I read a ton of business books in my youth, like in my 20s. I just digested everything by Seth Godin and all this other stuff. And then like, I just don't listen to other people anymore. maybe it's because I'm like getting older and I just feel like I need to generate my own ideas. But yeah, I think, you know, just looking at the industry and learning from what other people are doing in terms of, you know, Bitcoin treasury management and things like that has been interesting. Looking at like Michael Saylor's actions in the market has been interesting. It's been educational for me in terms of how you think about like debt and, you know, where the dollar is going and stuff like that. That's been interesting, but maybe not specific to growing a business.
Probably not unrelated to Bitcoin, but I think really just valuing time as a resource intentionally is something I focused on a lot over the last couple of years of where do I want to direct my energy? What am I trying to do? Are the places that I was spending my time the things I think are the most valuable?
Just out of curiosity, how do you do that? Is it resources that you've like read, looked at, or I guess, is there anything that would help people to do that if what you've just shared connects with listeners right now?
Yeah, I think for me, it's just a kind of an internal gut thing of like, hey, am I making progress on things that I think are important, right? And so I think that's just a question that you ask yourself of, am I making progress in the areas I want to? And if I'm not, well, is that because I'm spending time on the wrong things? I think that was one of the things for me as I left kind of the constant W-2 paycheck was like, is this worth it for me? This constant stability, good pay coming in, but is it where I want to be spending my time, my focus? And so that was kind of one of the mental models for me to be thinking through.
Yeah.
So for our business, not so much a resource, but an opportunity. We had an opportunity to be able to build up our resources as a business financially and start investing in Bitcoin very early on, and also be able to acquire some mining rigs. So I think that in our quest to be able to get a business going, one of the biggest things that we wanted to make sure to do was to incorporate Bitcoin into our business model. And so to be able to get that process started very early on, I think is going to set us up for just a great opportunity to build off of that, and then hopefully be able to start to help more people, companies, small businesses, medium businesses, large businesses, anybody that we work with, get educated on why we would make that decision and why everybody should start to think about doing it themselves.
Well, I think recently it's more of an idea, more of an approach is embracing this discomfort, kind of being okay with being uncomfortable and even questioning things if you haven't been uncomfortable in a while. And I think there's a connotation with starting a business that you get to do what you want whenever you want, and you know, you don't have to deal with people you don't want to deal with, you know. But that's clearly not the case, and there's, you know, there's always going to be a business owner, especially as a one-man show. You know, maybe you're good with the spreadsheets and the computer and you don't want to get out in front of people. Well, that's a problem. You know, maybe you're the flip side of that. So I think, you know, looking for ways to get uncomfortable, I think your individual growth becomes that much more, powerful and needed when it comes to growing the business that you're trying to grow.
The most valuable thing I've been able to do is the relationship building. We don't do that anymore. And I'm not talking about digital relationships. I'm talking about in-person, peer-to-peer, shaking hand relationships. The people I've met the last 2 years in the Bitcoin space and the ranching space collectively is the most valuable resource in anybody's life right now, because it's basically to the source of your nutrition. And the attack on food itself, the attack on animal protein itself, the attack on money, everything that is going on in this world, if you can establish these type of in-person relationships through Bitcoin meetups or me going out to ranchers, that is the most valuable aspect of my life, and it will be moving forward as well.
Probably the idea of restructuring or rebuilding.
you know, I think most startups have some contrived call to action that results in changing the world, quote unquote. For us, and probably for other Bitcoin companies, it's a bit different. We don't think that we're changing the world, right? Like every startup is kind of quote unquote mission driven. We think Bitcoin is changing the world and we're along for the ride. So for us, it's like, this thing is happening. Let's figure out what's needed to help make it happen.
The idea that we will create a monetary network that's net positive on the environment.
Which is really interesting. Could you just expound on that a little bit more before we get to our last question? Because a lot of people, especially these days, you know, we're looking at the merge right now, proof of stake. A lot of people are pushing the value of proof of stake over proof of work. As a miner, you think that proof of work is better and will lead to a better environment. Can you just expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, as a miner, you will have to find the cheapest electricity. And cheapest electricity means you either do something with the heat that comes out of the miner, or you find a place where energy is dirt cheap, or basically it's abundant or there's spare capacity. So that means that there's already electricity that would have been wasted. Or there is a place where you can have heat being produced by miners, which is cheaper with the miners, so with electricity, than with other forms of generation of this heat. And what we are looking for is that most likely before the end of 2024, Bitcoin will be carbon negative. So this means that we will have replaced so many traditional fossil fuel heaters that we will have so many mines across methane emitting places that we will move to carbon negative within next 2 years. So that means that when you use Bitcoin, and that's already the case, you are contributing to a better world instead of what everyone is thinking.
Well, I think the thing that puts IBEX kind of on the top of the map or keeps it in people's mouths is how we operate as a team and our team. We have a very diverse team that follows a certain set of core principles, but the foremost is just being kind and just doing what we're saying we're going to do. And I found in this industry, there's a ton of energy and a ton of kindness. So if you kind of keep the theme and the Bitcoin ethos of being kind and doing good for others, you're going to be successful. And so that's one of our core values. And we really try to stick to it. And it's helped us tremendously within the industry too, putting our name out there. And, you know, these are the guys to work with.
You know, my goal was obviously getting a high-end luxury goods. So, you know, I went to a lot of e-commerce meetups and stuff, and they're trying to just sell fiat shit on Amazon and just pump, pump, pump. And I had to take a step back and be like, I don't want to do that. I want to build high quality things and sell it in that specific way. So I started researching how do they sell Rolexes? How do they sell, you know, Rolls Royces? How do they sell? And then I found like books online that how to sell luxury products. And it's basically the complete opposite of everything. Like, you want exclusivity. You don't want to bend your knee to your customers. You want your customers to come to you. You know, it's a wholly different mindset to sell something and get top dollar for it. And you got to make your customers feel special. So, you create VIP lists and you create, more exclusive and more exclusive sales funnels to filter out, to get the really interested, and the clients are way better. So you get, you not only deal with better clients, I'm dealing with high net worth individuals now, and that builds my network. You sell them a record player, they love it. They, what I would say is, learning, a different form of e-commerce and building the trust for a guy to send $20,000 to you through the internet and trust you that you're going to deliver a high-end product. So just the innovation of being able to run a high-end business on e-commerce is something that I feel like I was kind of forefronting it, because I'd never really seen anybody do it before. So I'm obviously people have, but it's just my kind of niche I love to talk about, focus on.
Well, friends, it's a wrap. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Business Bitcoinization Show. Once again, I'd love your feedback on this format. If you want to see more of it, let me know. And of course, if you want to see less, I want to know that as well. As always, keep building, keep growing, and until next time, keep living and leading. Well,